welcome you to the Lord's house this morning. Those that are here in the sanctuary, good looking group. Yeah, y'all look good. Go home and look in the mirror and say, the preacher said I look good.
You do too.
And anybody that's out in the parking lot, we welcome you. And those that might be listening later to the website, we also welcome you as we worship to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, together. Hope you got plenty of rain yesterday. I was kidding somebody through a text. I said, well, I don't know how hard it's raining at my house, but I did see a duck go by wearing carrying an umbrella and wearing a raincoat. So he texts back and said, what color was the raincoat? But it's good. God's looking out for us. He's meeting our needs. He always has. We can trust him. Trust him with our daily lives. Trust him with our salvation. Because he's a good, good God. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the rain that came yesterday. Most of all, we thank you for the rain of the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts. So, Lord, we know that you're here, so we just want you to know that you're welcome here. We delight in your presence. We earnestly listen to the still small voice of the Spirit speaking to us. Lord, thank you that you have a special encouragement, challenge, direction for every one of us. We thank you for each person that's gathered here in the sanctuary, those that are members, those that are visitors. We thank you those that are listening at other places and other times. Lord, we thank you that the same Holy Spirit that's speaking in this building can speak through someone's phone or through someone's computer, iPad, as they listen later. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified, and may you receive the praise. May our lives be forever changed by your presence and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're a visitor. Indeed, you are our special guest, and we welcome you this morning. As we normally do, we're going to have our hymn sing first, and today we're going to be singing Standing on the Promises, 335. Now, the reason, I think you know by now the reason we're singing this song today, I've got one more Sunday the chance to do it. The pastor's been preaching, they're Standing on the Promises for this or the second Sunday. And I know that, and I think we might have one more. I don't want to steal your thunder, so I'll be careful with that. But anyway, we need to sing the song, Standing on the Promises. So if you would, please, take your hymnals and turn to page 335. 335, no, we won't be able to have it on the board again this Sunday. So get your books. Pick up your song books this morning. Do it like we used to do. Turn to page 335. And everyone standing, please, Standing on the Promises.
Promises.
said amen. Welcome someone this morning, please. We do indeed welcome you this morning. I have a few announcements for you and before we continue on. But before I do that, there's a young lady here this morning that I've been waiting because her job requires her to be away a lot of Sundays. And I have been waiting for a while to be able to personally and publicly thank her. I see the results of her work every single Sunday I walk in this church building, and you do too. Miss Angie's here this morning, and you all please join me in giving an applause right there. It just doesn't happen just like that. You make it look easy, though, but thank you. God bless you, Angie. We appreciate it. This morning we are going to have, in the service, we'll be having a call conference to bring you all up to date on where we are and also give you our deacons and the stewardship will be giving you and building the grounds. We'll be giving you their recommendations for how we are going to solve the issue, and it's going to need some reaction from you in that conference today. So please be sure that you stay for that. So it's a very important time in our life. Brenda and I, we kind of got our heads together, and it's about time the Golden Agers got out of town. So we're going to plan a trip, and we want to see how much interest we have. October the 11th, I believe, is what we come with a date on. And if you would, please, it'll be in the bulletin next Sunday, but Brenda will put something on the outside on the board back here. If you can go and you want to go, we'll go to get some apples, and we'll go up and see some mountains, okay? I think that's what we talked about doing first. So Golden Agers, if you want to go, please sign up, and we'll be back there next Sunday, okay? Now, also, as far as announcements goes on, the NC Home Missions offering. If you hadn't seen one of these envelopes, you need to get that. And please, as the Lord leads you, give your offering to the... And also, there's a folder inside the bulletin today. There's something for you to read on the NC Home Offerings. Called conference, as we talked about, the area-wide revival is now, I think, we got canceled one time because of weather, but I think if the weather permits, Pastor, yeah. It'll be September the 12th through the 16th, and that's the old fairground, so please come and be part of that, and I know you'll enjoy it if you would do that, okay? That's all the announcements I have. Does anyone have, yes?
I need to see the men.
Oh.
We have something up. Won't take 2 minutes.
Okay.
Just want to confirm some dates.
All right, sir. Sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. All right. Any other? All right. As we go into the prayer request, today is 9/11, and I don't know how anybody can think of the date of 9/11 and not think of the horrible time that. In September the 11th, when the towers went down in New York, and we had more people killed in the U.S. for attack since Pearl Harbor. And it's time, as we think this morning, let's remember the families. They're still hurting there, even though they have built a beautiful, beautiful building up in its place, but the pain is still there, the families are still there, and we need not to forget. We need not to forget, and let's lift them up in our prayers today. We also need to remember this morning the Lisa Davis family. Her husband has passed away, and let's remember him. Kathy High is ill this morning. She's under the weather and not feeling well, and we need to keep her in our prayers as well. All right, anybody else have any prayer requests this morning? All right, okay. Anywhere? Yes, I'm sorry, Kenny.
I have a prayer for my mom and Blessing Blue. I don't thank the church for this prayer on my hand.
Okay, much improved.
Glad to be here.
Wonderful. Jeff, how's your mom? And
she's getting better. According to my brother, she has to be getting better. She's getting on her.
And your brother with the cancer, how's he?
Actually, I mentioned it Wednesday night. He had his meeting last Thursday with the surgeon. The one under his arm is basically gone. The three on his neck, they think they're going to be able to get them all with surgery. And according to him, he's doing it's somewhat experimental treatment. It is autoimmune therapy. And according to him, the doctor, the surgeon, was actually amazed because it's working so well. So they think he's going to have to stay on the treatment until the rest of the year, but they think it may clear it all up. No chemo and no radiation.
Okay. Yes, McCord. Yes.
And David.
I'm sorry.
And David.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. All right. If you would, please, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Before I pray this morning, I want you to bow your heads and have a moment of silent prayer for 9/11 and the victims and the families, and then I'll continue on and close us out in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, we come before you today, as always, thanking you. And Lord, many, many times I have said this, but it's true. Before we ask, Lord, let us say thank you. Because, Lord, what blessings you give upon us today. God, the blessings that I look across this room today, and I see those that are here, and those that are able to be here, and then those that have prioritized their time to be here, I'm so thankful for them. And thank you, Lord, for the blessings. But now, Lord, as we remember 9/11, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we never have another case like this in the U.S. again, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those. Lord, we pray for our enemies this morning. You've taught us to do that. Lord, help them to know the love and power of salvation. But then, Lord, we pray for those families that are hurting this morning and still hurting. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we honor them. And now, Lord, as we can turn our attention to Barbie's Grove, we continue to pray, Lord, for us, Lord, as we are going through some transition times now, Lord, due to the lightning strike. And we pray, Lord, for those who, and thank you, Lord, for those who have worked so hard and so diligently to keep us on some type of common course. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our church and for what it means to us and the fact that we can still look out, Lord, and we are here. We still come and we still worship. And because we worship you, Lord, as the awesome God that you are. But now, Lord, as we remember the Lord, those specifically this morning, we pray, Lord, for the Lisa Davis family. We pray for Kathy, Lord, this morning. She's not feeling well. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, for Ronnie Tucker and the family. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your will be done in that life. Now, Lord, we ask a special, and we say a special thank you, Lord, for Kenny's mom and the prayer answered already, Lord. We thank you for the praise report. And Jeff, brother, the same. And now, Lord, we ask a special blessing as we go forward and pray for a blessing upon Pastor Ed as he is standing, be ready to preach to us the sermon that you give him today. And these blessings, Lord, I pray in your sweet, loving name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to do something a little different today. Something we've not done in a while. Well, I have a responsive reading that I want us to do. And you may stay seated for the reading of the responsive reading. 674, turn to 674. I think it's a great responsive reading on praise and adoration. And that's what this portion of our service is always about, is praise and adoration. So let's pray together. I'll read the first part in the lighter print, the darker print will be yours to respond to me, okay? Praise and adoration. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked in salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the heavens. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world of all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. I will extol thee, the Lord, at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us extol his name forever. All right, if you would please then take your hymnals, and as we're going to do, we're going to do exactly what we just read about. We're going to, this 334, page 334, and just go to Standing on the Promises and take a left, and you'll be exactly right. As we all stand, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, all three verses this morning.
Song, praising my Savior.
aren't you glad we can still praise the Savior? Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor Ed, keep standing. We're going to keep standing.
All right, any children, want to go to
children's, children's church.
How does that last verse end? Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. I pray that you, many times a day, you just feel the goodness of God, the love of God for you, and you find yourself praising Him, thanking Him.
Amen.
You don't have to be a good singer. You don't have to be a singer at all. You can praise Him. You can thank Him. God is so good. So good. Well, several weeks ago, I was in another town preaching a funeral. And the family members that I knew were pretty good folks, church members. And so I had a bland, normal funeral service. And then when I saw some of the people that showed up, near the end of the service, I found myself quoting scripture and talking about stuff I hadn't been in my notes at all. And I'm assuming that the Holy Spirit knew somebody needed to hear what I was saying. And I was comparing some scriptures that I'd never compared before, I don't think in a sermon or in a funeral service. And this morning, I want to do some of the same for you. Just to refresh your memory. Maybe give you some things to think about. Let's listen to some voices from eternity. Let's listen to some voices from the grave. Turn with me. First, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And we'll start reading at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of the finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot come, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses, and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, then they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one rose from the dead. Many people feel like this is a story of people that Jesus actually knew. Because, you know, most of the times, if it was a parable, it says, "And this parable spake he unto them about whatever." Well, he didn't call this a parable. He said there's a certain rich man, and he had everything, and there was a certain poor beggar named Lazarus, and both died. And the poor man went to Father Abraham's bosom. It says the rich man died and was buried. Now, he didn't go to paradise or Father Abraham's bosom because he was poor. He went because of a relationship with God. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. It was because of a lack of a relationship with God. Being poor or rich doesn't get you into heaven or hell. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Now notice some things that this rich man said in verse 24. He says, "I am in torment. I am in pain. I'd like to have just one finger dipped in water put on my tongue. I am miserable." Well, when he found out he couldn't get that, he thought about his brothers. He said, "I have five brothers that are still living. Please send somebody to tell them not to come here. Please send somebody to let them know this is not a place they want to be. This is a place they need to avoid." Think about it for a moment. There are unsaved people in hell today that are crying out, "Please don't come here. Please don't come here. Please don't come here." If they had a way of making their voices heard, they'd be saying, "Please don't come here. This is not a place you want to come. This is not a place you want to be." You think about this for a moment. I know it's not possible. But if God would suddenly reach down into hell and say to certain people, just like this rich man, "I'm going to give you a 1 month's pardon. I'm going to let you come back to earth. Now you're going to have to come back to hell at the end of the month, but I'm going to give you 1 month's pardon to come back to life and come back on earth." What do you think they'd do? Well, the first one, you might laugh a little bit. They'd have a backpack full of cold water. But then they'd be going door to door to their family and their friends saying, "Please get saved. Please give your life to Jesus. Please don't join me in a place of torment." They'd be more evangelistic than you can and I can imagine if they had any shred of decency, any shred of love for family and friends and neighbors. Their voice would cry out, "Please do not come here." And I believe that even now this morning, there are people in hell that are saying, oh, "I hope somebody tells my family. I hope somebody tells my friends. I hope somebody goes to this one or that one or the other one, because I can't stand the thought. It's going to make hell even worse if they join me here." Here was a man who was in torment. But here was a man with an evangelistic heart. Isn't it interesting to think that there might be people in hell that are more evangelistic than some of us? Never thought of that before till when I was in the middle of that funeral the other day. That there are people in hell that might be more evangelistic than some of us that say we're evangelistic Southern Baptist. We need to think about that. Now, the scripture that we want to compare that to, there's two of them in 2 Corinthians. First one's chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read two passages here, 2 Corinthians 12 and then over in chapter 5, that have to do with heaven. And let's notice what's said about heaven. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visit visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, which such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, most people think this is when Paul was stoned and left for dead. And folks, let's don't kid ourselves. Those folks throwing stones, they were pros at it. They had killed a lot of folks with stoning. They weren't picking up marbles. They were picking up baseball and softball size and brick-sized stones, and as big as they could pick up. And when they killed somebody, they knew what they were doing. And they had no mercy. And it says they left Paul for dead. And Paul had an experience of going to heaven. And notice what he says there in that last verse. He said, I've seen some things, heard some things that's so awesome, I can't even tell them. There are folks in heaven right now that are crying out, you can't believe how awesome this place is. You can't believe how wonderful this place is. Now, I know we talk about streets of gold and gates of pearl and all of those kind of things that we read about in Revelation and in other scriptures. But how is it said, the half has never been told? Can you imagine if you had one of those Star Trek transporters and you could transport yourself back to the year 1000 and you start trying to explain airplanes and rocket to the moon and all of that kind of stuff to somebody living? They say, What are you? I don't get it. Because they would have had no concept of a flying in the air except to see a bird. They would, that moon way off up yonder. They have no concept of man getting on some kind of rocket and going all the way to the moon. And so Paul says, when I went to heaven, I saw some things so wonderful, you wouldn't begin to believe them. Now, over in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he tells us about what some of those things were. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul says, you're going to get a new body. That person in heaven is going to say, would be saying to us today, if they spoke to us, you can't believe this marvelous new body that I've got. It don't hurt. It doesn't have any arthritis. It doesn't have any broken bones. It doesn't have any cancer. It doesn't have any heart trouble. I've got this awesome new body. It's an eternal body. It's made from heaven. And that person that's there in heaven is saying, you wouldn't believe this awesome new body that I have. You need to come here so that you can get one for yourself. You need to come here so that you can get the same kind of awesome body. And I love verse 4, if we just get it. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. That's an awesome statement, that last phrase. He said that your mortalness, your humanness, is swallowed up in life. We walk by a casket and say, oh, he, she, they're dead. No, they're more alive than ever. Paul says, this body you think is great, but this body is swapped for life. He doesn't say this body, this mortality is swallowed up by death. He said it's swallowed up by life. And folks in heaven are saying, come, 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 come to heaven. Come join me. Come be a part of all that I'm doing here in heaven and all that you can do. I'm more alive than I've ever been before. You know, a little baby in its mama's womb is alive. But that little baby doesn't begin to understand what life as a 21-year-old is. And all the things that they can do and say and places they can go and the things they can see and the beauty of the creation and the wonderful foods they can eat and the love that they can share with others. He said, we're swallowed up in life. And then verse 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You remember in 1 Corinthians it says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You remember in John 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I get that place prepared, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Every one of us have had our own, or you know, if we're saved, we've had our own experience with the Lord. But oh, what an awesome thing it is when we see Him face to face. What an awesome thing to see Him face to face. And Paul says, listen, present with the Lord. Present with Jesus. And those in heaven would say to us, listen, my friends, I want you to come and have an experience with Jesus face to face like you've never had it before. Oh, you think you've seen Jesus. You think you've experienced Jesus. You think you've loved Jesus, but you can't begin to imagine how it's going to be face to face. Let's look at one other scripture, Matthew 28. Very familiar. Matthew 28. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now here's a command, not a suggestion. As you go, share Jesus. As you go, share Jesus. Now, folks, don't get bogged down in the unimportant. Sometimes we're so afraid of sharing, going to share Jesus. What if they ask me about the millennium? Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're premillennial, amillennial, or postmillennial. The thing is, do you know Jesus? I believe there's a biblical answer to that. It doesn't matter whether you're sprinkled, poured, or immersed. In the long run, I think there's a biblical answer to that as well. But the question is, do you know Jesus? And when somebody starts trying to get you off there, there, and yonder, just take them to Romans 10, where it says, if thou believest that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him with your mouth, you'll be saved. Point them back to that over and over again. They start all this other stuff. Just say, now, just wait a minute. We'll have a Bible study and we'll study all of that later. The key thing is this. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that he was buried? Do you believe that God brought him back to alive, that he rose again? And have you confessed him with your mouth as your personal Lord and Savior? That's all that matters. Everything else is peripheral. Whether you're charismatic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, it all comes down to what do we believe about Jesus? And the people in hell and the people in heaven would be saying to us this morning, get it right about Jesus. Amen. And if we get it right about Jesus, everything else will fall into place. Amen. And we won't ever get to the place where every one of us totally agree on every doctrine. But the point is, what do we believe about Jesus? Now, as I said earlier, it's sad that there are people in hell that are probably more evangelistic than some of us, me included. And we need to ask ourselves the question, how much do I share Jesus? How concerned am I about family and friends that still have a chance to escape hell and go to heaven? Do I keep waiting and hoping and thinking and delaying and making excuses? Or do I really share my faith? There are not two kind of people in this world. I mean, I know red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. But hey, there's lost people and saved people. There are people on the way to heaven, people on the way to hell. That's the only two kind of people there are in the earth. Some of them are rich, some of them are poor, some of them are red, some of them yellow, some of them black, some of them white. But they're saved or lost. That's all that matters. And notice the very first thought there. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go. Remember that Jesus told the disciples right before he ascended, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power of the Holy Spirit. And then go. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I don't have the power. But Jesus does. And when we share the good news and the power of the Holy Spirit, then some people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some won't. I'm mean, you look at the life and ministry of Jesus. Not everybody was saved. But what does the scripture say? As many as believed on him, to them gave he power of salvation. They had a choice. The sad folks, really sad folks in hell, will be those that were never warned. Never had a chance. But the even sadder ones will be those that had a chance and said no. Those that will be able to all through eternity say, this person came and talked to me about Jesus. This person came and talked to me about Jesus. And I heard this sermon about Jesus, and I saw this about Jesus, and I kept saying no. I had ample opportunities, and I kept saying no. The voice from hell says, please don't come here. The voice from heaven says, come here. And Jesus says, go tell. Bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Is there somebody that you know that's on the wrong road and you need to tell them about Jesus? Would you make that commitment right now? If there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just jump up right from the pew right where you are and come down the aisle right at this very minute? Right now there are people in hell saying, please don't come. People in heaven saying, oh, I'll welcome you. And Jesus says, go. How will we respond? Thank you, Father, that we don't have to win people to Jesus in our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power, but the power is of you. And now, Father, we pray that you might guide and direct us. Give us evangelistic hearts for a world that needs Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.